That can be a tough topic, can it not? Well, the Lord gave me, I'm not a speaker, but I want to start us off this way. So, actually, Holy Spirit does. The Lord gave me Joseph years ago. Penny knows this story. She knows how dear Joseph is to my heart. And Brother Gene has just started a series on Joseph, so I'm all excited about that. But my life is fairly parallel with Joseph and my family. There, years ago, I felt like I literally was thrown in a pit by my sisters and sold to Egypt. It hurt. I can just imagine what a 17-year-old boy is thinking as he's on a camel headed to a foreign land, and his family is left behind. And his family did this to him. And in the end, we get to the end of the story. He goes through an awful lot. We know about Potiphar and his wife. And he ends up in prison, forgotten about. And then he really starts using him with Pharaoh and the dreams and preparing Egypt for the famine. And then his brothers show up. He knew who they were. They didn't know him. And towards the end of this story, I saw this morning, the verses in chapter 45 of Genesis, verse 4 and 5. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me. Is not Christ drawing us near? Amen. I pray you. And they came near. They were terrified of him. They didn't know who he was. And they're being accused of stealing. Poor Benjamin got the silver cup in his bag. And they're saying death to Benjamin. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. We have to forgive ourselves sometimes. You know, sometimes we do things and there's a lot of regret. And we ask for the forgiveness, but there is another side, forgiving ourselves. And he said, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Isn't that what Christ did for us? And he said, it was brought out last night by our dear sister. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we are to forgive as Christ forgave us. So I just want us to start with that thinking in mind this morning and preparing our hearts for whatever the Lord might have for us on this topic today. And that topic can just, it ranges over a lot of things that can come up in our life. And so I know whatever is going on in each of our lives, God will meet us there. He is faithful because he loves his people. So, okay.
It's beautiful how the Holy Spirit just weaves together We used everything together. And so when I was growing up, a little bitty, there were always drunks around us, and they did things to little girls supposed not to. And that's like a taproot. When you get violated when you're young, it goes way down deep. It could be abuse, it could be death, it could be anything. But I thought, when there's a breach in your life, that taproot of dark evil goes way down there. Now, the tornadoes, they can twist the top of a tree and just, you know, where it comes up to those big roots, and we think, wow, that tree is dead. No, the taproot's still there, you know. And I thought, when I was born again, I remembered that I read that our spirit man is seated in the heavenlies. But I thought, we're in this soul realm. This is the realm that was created for the soul. And so for all my growing up life, I thought it was my fault. Because, you know, when we were kids growing up, adults were always right and kids were always wrong. And, you know, that's just the way that was. And so I used to think, what did I do? What did I do to cause that? Okay. I don't remember a lot of it because it's black. But my sisters, she remembers a lot, just black. And so anyway, I've been thinking about forgiveness. And so I was reading First John 1:8-9. Says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But nine says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I thought, it wasn't, you know, when you're little, people are stronger than you. And it took the Lord, that was like when I was 4, but I'm 74 now, so it took him 70 years to get to the taproot of that. And the sin was holding on to the guilt and shame that was put in there. As you can see, I'm Indian. So anyway, in the old days when a lot of the Indians fought, they would tip their arrows with poisonous matter. So when it went in, there was always infection in there. You know, and so when the shaft comes out, the head's still embedded, it can be removed. When I was born again, the Lord removed that. He removed that. And I thought, that infection was still there, but it was covered in the blood of Jesus. So it took so many years to realize the sin was that I believed the lie that it was my fault. I believed the lie that somehow it had been me, you know. And I thought, we're all sinners in need of a Savior. I'm not trying to excuse myself. But some years ago, you know, the Lord said, it wasn't your fault. Can you not get that? Can you not understand that? It wasn't you. And I didn't believe it for a long time. But finally I came to realize that, because the blood of Jesus causes us to be able to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. And it says, love your neighbor as yourself. I didn't love me. I didn't love me growing up. And I never thought God would love me because of this stuff. But you know what? He did. He always did. And so I want to sing this song. And I don't know, you know, what your particular arrow would be. I don't know what your particular root would be. But I thought, God knows. So I love that song. The Lion of Judah will break every chain, you know. And so if you have you got a little chain or something there, I thought, what breaks in a chain? The weakest link. The weakest link is the lie of the devil that God doesn't love us. So, you know, if you got a chain, you let it break. Maybe you can hear it. Maybe you can't. He'll break it. He will break it. And I thought, then it's just a big string, and all along he can break that chain. So just close your eyes and listen to the words, because he does forgive us as far as the east is from the west. You can go all the way, and you know what? It doesn't meet, because guess what's in here? The blood of Jesus fulfills that, because he gave his blood that can be a whole wholeness in you. It happened so long ago, I cried out for mercy back then, pled the blood of Jesus, begged him to forgive my sin. Can't forget it, it won't let me go. So I wept again, Lord, wash my sin. This is all he'd say. What sin? What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. What sin? What sin? It was gone the very minute you confessed. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness. The heaviest thing you'll carry is a load of guilt and shame. You were never meant to bear them. Let them go in Jesus' name. Our God is slow to anger, but quick to forgive our sin. Let him put them under the blood. Don't bring them up again, 'cause he'll just say, what sin? What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. What sin? What sin? It was gone the very minute you confessed. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Oh, he's forgiven me of those accusing memories. Nothing makes me weep this way, but when I hear him say, what sin, what sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. What sin, what sin? It was gone the very minute you confess. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness.
Okay, do we have maybe one more? Okay. Maybe.
Well, God put it into my heart today to give this testimony of what he has done and how he's affected my life. He brought me through several difficult times. I was married to an abusive marriage for 22 years. It took a lot of courage to leave that marriage, but it was the best thing that I ever did. He guided me to become a nurse for 35 years to help others in any way that I could. And just by chance, believing in the Lord, he preserved my life for a purpose. As his testimony is dedicated, that recognizing that life is guided by divine intention rather than coincidence. I've encountered several death experiences through my life. Wondering what God has in store for me next. First off, I was very heavy. Believe it or not, I weighed 368 pounds. Ended up with 4 pulmonary embolies. Almost died. I ended up in having gastric bypass surgery because I was on the verge of a heart attack, high blood pressure, all other types of health issues. And so a friend of mine had the surgery, and I thought that would be what I really needed, because I had tried everything to lose weight and it just didn't work. Next, I fell and broke my left leg in 3 places, the tibia, the fibula, and the plateau of my knee. Took over a year and a half, and then even after that, they didn't know whether my bones, I have osteoporosis, and they didn't know if my bones was even going to be able to let me even walk. I fell 7 years ago, which I broke 3 discs in my neck. I have a plate in my neck. Didn't know how I was gonna survive all of that. One of the discs was cutting the blood flow up to my brain. So I had speech problems, memory problems. But God still has me standing here today. On one occasion, I found myself after surgery, and I was heading towards the bright light. I wanted to go, but God had other plans for me. I had a son that was born with a traumatic brain injury. I had just lost my mom and my second husband 6 months before this, and my son was 9 years old. He had nobody else to take care of him. And God told me that I had to go back to be with him. And then last year, I came close to dying again. I got real sick. My thyroid levels was off the wall. In fact, they weren't even any level to even register. I had another, one of my blood levels was over 3,000. I was in the ER room. I'm a diabetic, and my blood sugars was low. So they fed me a meal there, and I ended up getting sick. and I aspirated, believe it or not, on green beans. And I slipped into a coma, 2:30 in the morning. They called and told my son that they didn't know if I was gonna make it. I was in ICU on a vent, and I remained there for 3 days. I was in the hospital for over 2 weeks, and then I had to go to rehab to learn how to rebuild my strength up. But surviving all of these crises, God has a continual plan for my life. And though he has delivered my soul from death and my eyes from tear, my feet from falling, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And it is just, I'm so glad to be here. When I was in rehab, I used my experience to give testimonies to so many people about God and what he can do in your life if you want him to be with you. All you have to do is just say, Lord, I want you in my life, and he will do everything to help you throughout. So, and I just continue giving my testimony and my word to anybody I run into, because as you know, I mean, I have scoliosis. In fact, my neurosurgeon had told me one time, it was 2 years after I had my neck surgery, he told me, he says, next time I see you, you're going to be in a wheelchair. And I went to see him, and I wasn't even walking with a walker. He come walking in, he turned around and he looked at me and he about hit the floor. He says, you're walking. I told you I would be walking. I have God in my life, and I'm still gonna be walking as far and as long as I can. So.
Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Sister Pat, you want to come on up? And just a reminder, when Pat is finished.
A little message real quick on healing of the broken heart. I give a little testimony. My mother grew up with an alcoholic and abusive father. And I understand that she was also a middle child, and I understand that's a syndrome. Middle child of abusive and whatever father. So she had a lot of bitterness in her heart, and she let everybody know it. It was like she was carrying this great big weight on the back of, you know, on her all the time, and it affected her immediate family, her siblings. We'd get together and have a good time, and then the next thing you know, mom's turn-tailed and bitterness and whatever, to sometimes going and hiding in her bedroom for several days. And me being the oldest, that's where I ended up being in charge. That's where I grew up, being in charge. That's my reputation, being in charge. I don't shed it lightly, but you know, being the oldest of six, and then my mom had another one, number seven, when I was 19. So I was going to business school and working part-time and going home and taking care of mom. But God, through all that, my siblings and I, and it became even greater desire, was that that was not how we were going to live our lives. Not have that. Then when I became a Christian, it was more evident that that's not the way we do things. We don't carry that grudge. Bitterness can be generational. You can carry that around. If your parents have grudges against cousins or their, you know, second cousins, third cousins, that carries it down. You can hear that in people's heritage, their stories. So-and-so did this, or somebody's the black sheep of the family, so now that carries forward? No. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. Just like my husband's heart health, his grandpa and his dad, all three of them had bad valves when they were born. But when we became a Christians, we rebuked that generational split. We didn't want that for our kids, so none of our kids have it, and none of their kids have it. The Lord honored that. That bitterness in your lives can hurt you physically. My mom was not a well woman, mentally and physically. So don't let that bitterness eat you up. As we navigate through our difficult times, we often crave reassurance, don't we? We look for somebody to help us, you know, justify the way we're doing it, right? You know, we need somebody to say, yeah, that's the way you should do it. That's not the way you should do it. That's the world. That's what the world wants you to think, okay? But he gives us the powerful ways through Scripture. And verses for a healing heart remind us that we are not abandoned in our moments of sorrow. They assure us of our presence in our darkest times, encouraging us to trust him with our hearts. When we lean on these verses, God is there to mend our wounds. Psalm 34, verses 17 to 22, it says, the righteous cry. And don't we cry out when we're hurting, when somebody's hurt us? The Lord hears us and delivers us out of all of our troubles. He is nigh unto us that are a broken heart, and he saves us from a contrite heart. Many of our afflictions of our righteous, but the Lord delivered them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust him shall be desolate. That's what we can stand upon. We cannot trust what the world is putting out there on how we're supposed to solve our problems. The world's got all this big list of ways for us to solve our problems. Do they work?
No.
Only one person does. One triune God. Yes. Amen. We find our strength in God when our hearts feel broken. It often leaves us feeling weak and vulnerable. And important for us to remember, when true strength comes from, our healing journey is infused with God's promise to lift us up and provide us with the fortitude we require. Psalm 73 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. When we go through the restorations, a new beginning, we experience the brokenness, but also experience the beauty of being restored. God is making all things new, and he invites us to the restoration. Because it's a process, right? When you make a cake, it's a process. You don't have an instant. Nothing is instant, right? It's a process. It's a process. In 2 Corinthians, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. All that generational bitterness, all that hurt, somebody hurt your feelings, it's all passed away because we are become new. In Micah 7, it says, "Who is God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? And he forgives by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage." We are his heritage. And he forgives us. He forgives us. And he will have compassion on us. So our hope for the future is that we heal from a broken heart. In Jeremiah 29, it says, "For I know the plans for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So we trust in God's timing. The healing of the broken heart often takes longer than we expect. Again, no instant tea, no instant milk, no instant cocoa, no instant. Because impatience can lead us to despair. Amen. So we know in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who trust, who are called to his purpose. Amen. And we can find strength in his promises, embrace his love, and tap into the power of prayer. Healing takes time, but God's help and support. So, Psalm 147 says, "The Lord build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken heart, and he bindeth up their wounds." So today, on your table, every one of you will get a healed broken heart. He'll get. And on there is also a table tent, which also has the healing of the broken heart. And you have an envelope. And I want you to take those home and put them out. There's a magnet on it, and there's a loop. And I want you to take it home. And if you go in despair, lay your hands on it and declare the victory over whatever that despair is causing you, or the brokenness or the bitterness. Go home and pray over it. And know that God's going to take care of you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray over the meal first. And then, like Frankie said, taking pictures here before the meal and practicing the song. Christy's going to get the pictures taken, whoever. Now, we're not going to go and get pictures printed this year. It's just too hard. So, Grace and Glory Pictures has a Facebook page. And we're going to start creating an album. There's album. There's categories across there. There's an album, and that's where Christy's going to post them on the Grace and Glory Pictures. Okay. I am taking the pictures, and everyone that has an email address that was on the registration or that you filled out back here, I will also email you pictures. Okay? So if you see another email from me, that's it. I hope to get it done before I leave for Scotland, but it has to get done because I don't want unfinished projects. So. Right. Those who don't have email addresses, then we will work on the logistics of that. I'll work with Christy and figure out how that's going to happen, okay? Also, if you're only here temporarily today, whatever, I ask that you take your name badge out of the holder and put the plastic holder on top of the file cabinets out there. Just put them out there, please, because the less you do that,
well, now I know why they call me Frankie and call Frankie Penny. Frankie, you took my message. No, I thought it was so neat because I listened to Gene and he was talking about Joseph and I had been studying in Joseph. And Frankie brought out a lot of what I was going to say, but I was asking the Lord, how am I going to get all this out? Well, he made a way. So that's what being led of the Spirit really is. We're to be led of the Spirit. If the Lord lays something on your heart, you speak it. And I'm very thankful that when you talk about Joseph, he is probably one of the best things, well, he is, the best types of Christ. There's so many types and shadows, But when we talk about Joseph, and the Lord told me, he went from a pit to a palace. Now, tell me who can take someone out of a pit and put him in a palace. I was like, Lord, how wonderful, how good you are. It's like, because we're going to go over, I'll just do the end of the thing. Go to Genesis 50, because I want you to think about what Joseph really went through. He went through so much. It starts out, he gets a coat of many colors, which, you know, I'm sure they didn't like that either. But there was so much anger. They was angry when he shared a dream with them. He said, you think we're going to bow down to you? And you try it. Go to maybe your meeting and say, I truly believe one day they should bow at my feet. They'll say, well, it'll be at Jesus' feet. Yes, but I will be in him. And he said, I will make them to know that I have loved you. Why is he going to make me know that? I already am learning that. He does love you. We don't have to wait. He said, it's his responsibility. I will let them. I'll make them know that I truly have loved you. When they see you ruling and reigning in one man, Christ Jesus, they're going to see Christ in you, the hope of all the glory that you never had if you walked after the flesh. I want us to go to Genesis 50, because after they get angry and they're jealous and they're envy and there's bitterness, it just keeps going, folks. When there's no forgiveness, you will become angry, you will become bitter. Bitterness is going to make you very sick. And that's the word of God. When we hold these things, it's not healthy. It makes us sick. And it's like, Lord, is there any bitterness or wrong in my heart? And we ask the Lord that. Do we believe he's going to take care of it? I did. I thought he took care of it. But then he strung one little string on my heart. And all this was coming out of my mouth. It was just one thing after another. It's because God wants to remove it. He wants us perfect in Christ Jesus. He's cleansing our heart. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, because he's doing it. He said with Joseph in verse 14 of chapter 50, Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw the father was dead, they said to Joseph, just think of this. This is natural humanity. Peradventure, Joseph's going to hate us. Now what's he going to do? I'm sure he's going to get even with us. He said, peradventure, hate us. He will certainly requite us or retaliate for what we've done to him. All the evil, and get this, please, because they're beginning to see something here. He is going to requite us all the evil which we did unto him. What they did is coming back, and it's right in their face. He said, now I know Joseph is not going to show us love. He is going to be so angry. And he said, they, and I love this part, and they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, this to me, oh, I just love it. Thy father did command before he died. A messenger comes. He said, I got a message for you. Joseph, this is a message from your father. And he said, Joseph, I want you to forgive. I pray thee now, the trespass of your brethren, and I want you to forgive their sin, their wrongdoing, for they did unto the evil. Notice again, Jacob saying, they did do evil unto you. I mean, this is just point blank, you did or you didn't. And he said, they did this unto you, and they did evil. Now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. And I love it, because God he made a way that Joseph, his father, would get this message to him. And I believe that's what our Heavenly Father is saying. I want you to love them. I want you to forgive them. And that's, he said, it's going to bring many sons to glory. It'll help them to walk in his glory, to see the true forgiveness, the true love of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. After everything he'd been through, Stephen being stoned. And I want you to get it, because the message they preached, they were not loved for it. Jesus was persecuted. He died on a cross because of that wonderful message of salvation to all men. Stephen, he had a message. Any point blank said the word of God. He just preached truth. They were angry with him. Stephen's being stoned. Saul's right there. And he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And we have to really ask God, Lord, help me. Help me. I have a need. If it's done unto us, we're looking the wrong way. It's done unto Jesus. We are a new creation. I am a new creation. I died with Christ. I was crucified. I went to the cross in him. He resurrected. We're a new creation. He wants this love and this forgiveness to be found in us. In verse 19, Joseph said to them, fear not. I don't know that I could do that, but that's when God does the work. Fear not, for I am in the place. Am I not in the place of God? Did God not put me, has he trusted this into my hands? Did he know that I would need him? That did he teach me I can't do anything on my own? Did he take me in a pit, allow them to do it? Did they sell me to the Ishmaelites? Am I going to get bitter and angry and carry on with strife? Or will I allow what God is doing to work in my life? And then he was sold. Then his brothers come. They don't, like Frankie said, they didn't know him. He knew them. These were his own. He came into, Jesus came into his own. They didn't receive him. Don't be surprised if you enter into this kind of suffering in your life. If you're in Christ, it's not you. You are a new man. You have a new message. And that message is convicting. Forgive as I have forgiven you. Have you ever heard those words? I have. Forgive them, Penny, I forgave you. And we all jump all the way over now. We go, oh, well, because he forgave me, I can forgive them. No. She did it in her message too. Father, forgive them. Then he says, forgive as I have forgiven you. I have forgiven you. The hardest thing is not to forgive somebody when you can't forgive yourself. That's where you carry the guilt and the hurt and the shame and go, I know I did it. You're carrying it. He already carried it for you. He said, and I have to say my own name, but you put yours there. Penny, forgive. Forgive yourself. I already forgave you. I want you to get it. I want you to enter into this beauty of me. Enter into me. Be a partaker of Christ. And then you can. Now forgive them as I have forgiven you. You may run across people who said, oh, I'm too bad to be forgiven. He won't forgive me. I committed murder, or I did this. All those things are listed in the catalog of the Bible, and it says right there, all those things, I don't care what it is, the flesh, anyone, put your own self there. We're a new man, we can walk in the Spirit now. We don't have to walk after the flesh. But be sure that the Christ in you, and you'll know the Christ in you when you hear someone say, he'll never forgive me. Oh, yes, he will. If he forgave me. That's why I love when Paul said, I'm the chiefest among sinners. I believe we have to come to that place in our life. We have to come and say, I can see, how did God love me the way I was? Because he put it away. You ever heard someone say this? I can forgive, but I won't forget. That is not God. But someone will say, well, how do you know that's not God? Go to the Word of God. The Word of God says, he has forgiven my sin as far as the east is from the west, and they ain't never going to meet. So it's boundless. It's boundless love. It's so bountiful. Your sin have been buried in the depths of the sea to be remembered no more. He gave you a new life that he could say, remember me. Remember me and what I've done for you. That's the message we're sharing. It goes back to, it's the gospel that we preach. Forgive them. You have to have God's grace. You will be brought down so low, so pressed beyond measure. And everybody said, no, it's just in there and I just yield to it. Well, you may on some situations, but sometimes he said, wait. Oh, my soul, why are those so cast down? Why are you so cast down? What's wrong with you? Believe in God. God has this. He's going to give you grace like he did the time before. Or he may let someone come around and they do the grace loving. And you see it. You're ministering to the body. You're ministering to your families. When you say, I can forgive you. You can tell when words come from him. They don't stick me in my heart real bad. Or someone says, I love you. And I go, no, you don't. I mean, I really do feel that in my heart. You can have someone hug you and then I don't feel nothing. But if we get into this little thing of, well, we're supposed to love everybody. We just bet. No, wait on the Lord. Wait on his grace. Then when you love, it's going to be pure, unfeigned love, unfeigned faith. It's going to be so pure. And we that are looking for his coming, we want him to purify us. He's got to take away the dross. It doesn't feel good. I don't think Joseph felt real good either. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, get it? To save much people alive. Redemption story, that many shall be saved. Many will be able to enter in because of one man's forgiveness. His brothers are going to learn what it is to be real love. And brothers, we got to share this together, brothers. I wasn't saying you're going to bow to me. It's all in Christ. Where is envy? Where is jealousy? Where is strife? If we're really in Christ, are we jealous of Jesus? Are we going to come strife against him? This is where I see so much we need to be built up and to grow up. Now, therefore, fear ye not. What a man. I will nourish you. I want to build you up. Yeah, natural famine, but he'll feed you. He's still going to give you stuff. I'm going to nourish you and your little ones. I will comfort them and speak kindly unto them. Have you ever heard kindness matters? What, when somebody gives you a dirty look? I hope you don't say hi to me. I'm serious. It happens everywhere you go. How are you going to react? Immediately, Lord, I need another fold of grace. Another fold. When you go down, he said, Joseph said to his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and he's going to bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. I love it. He knew he was going to die, but look, before all this, what a love story. He has run his race. I looked in, I want us to go to Galatians 5. I know this probably seems long, but if you really connect with him, it won't be. Galatians 5, we got to stand fast, verse 1. You got to stand fast in the liberty. You're free. You're free. Where Christ made us free, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Be yoked up with him. It's easy. My burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. That's how you're going to learn of him. He walks with me. He talks with me. The narrow way, and he keeps telling me this narrow way, and I think in every song I sing, that word has just really been there. Remember, the broad way is a lot easy. Oh, man, we got the bunch of people. We got lots of friends. We got all this stuff. Well, the narrow way can't drag everyone with you. The narrow way is I walk with him. We talk together. He tells me what's ahead. He really can. He can witness that this is me, not you. You'll know it. And I went down and he said in verse 14 of Galatians 5, all the law is fulfilled in one word. Notice all these things. It says, I forgave you. I want you to love them as I have loved you. I love you because he first loved me. If he didn't love me, I couldn't love you. Because all we knew was natural love. All is fulfilled in one word, even this. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one with another. If I bite and devour, I'm going to be right in it. And the enemy loves it. Oh, if I can get so-and-so mad at that one or this and that, whatever. And I'm not talking about just the church. I'm talking about everywhere, even in the home. I can get that whole household fighting amongst themselves. But it only takes one that takes this little member, the tongue, and give it to God. And if we give our tongue to God and seek peace and pursue it, that's when he can make the whole house, everything, to be at peace. But it's all in his hands. We can't make it happen. Verse 16, this I say to them, walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of your flesh. All you have to do is walk in the Spirit. What is the Spirit here for? Why was he sent? The Holy Spirit was sent to lead and guide us into all truth. He's not going to lead you into a lie. He's not going to put you under bondage. You're free. The flesh, he says, you won't fulfill these things. And I'll let you guys just read them yourself because there's so much. He says, I want you to know what those things are. And he describes it. And he said, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And I love that verse because it's something real in here that he did. If you're walking in the Spirit, you may be told you're under law. You're not. I'm walking in the Spirit. You blaming the Holy Spirit. Because he's leading and guiding that person or that individual in truth. In truth. Then he lists what those things are in the flesh, and there's hatred, there's all that stuff again, envy, murders, drunkenness, reviling. But I want you to go to verse 22, because this is really going to end it with a kiss. But the fruit, have you ever said this to people? The fruit of the Spirit is, and everybody goes, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, forbearing, all these different words, right? This time, I got a revelation. I've been told it. And that's fine. You believe it because you knew it was God's word, but you really, it wasn't here. You didn't have a revelation. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. You are not going to be long-suffering, forbearing, forgiving, doing anything without love. It starts, walk in the Spirit, love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. There's joy when you walk in love. There's peace when you walk in love. There is long-suffering. There will be gentleness. There will be goodness. There will be faith. See, everybody's looking, oh, I gotta walk in faith, I gotta be long-suffering, I gotta be... No. Lord, teach me to love with your love. Complete. He's perfecting that which is on the inside of us. Perfecting that which concerns you. Not worry you, concern you. And he takes you on and he says, all these things, all of them, without love. And I went over to Corinthians, and it started again. And he said, you know, you can know all prophecies. You can know everything. You can give yourself to people. You can feed the poor. Sounds great, doesn't it? Without love, true love, it profits you nothing. Penny, if you don't do it in my love, it doesn't profit you anything. And we want everything to bring glory and honor unto the Lord. Amen. We want him to get the glory. He deserves it. So do you want fruit in your life? We need to ask God. But be willing. Be willing. Because I tell you, he said, if so be, you're already an heir of God. You're already it, okay? But you're a joint heir with Christ. If so be that you suffer. Preachers are preaching you don't have to suffer. Yes, you do. You do. Because when we enter into those sufferings with Christ, how am I going to rule? How am I going to reign in life by one? How am I going to do that? If you're going to rule, it's going to be according to all the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. We are going to rule and reign with Christ. I can't wait to get there and then say, well, I hope I get a rule and reign. We're learning right now. Let the word of God have rule in your hearts. Let him rule. And he'll reign in you. And you may not be able to tell everybody. You may not be able to say everything. But just know, I know who I'm believing in. I'm persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. I'm not able. That's why he even told Timothy. Timothy, you got to preach the word. You got to tell him what I said in my word. Because, Timothy, that's the only thing that's going to change him. Preach truth. I don't want to know what you think about stuff. If people ask me, what do you think? Here's your answer. I want my thoughts to be his thoughts. Yes. That's it. I want my thoughts to be his thoughts. I thank you all for listening today, and thank you, Frankie, for opening it up for me. And I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord that he brought this message on my heart.